97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
The Mark Reardon Show.
There's no big energy coming out of the Democratic Party.
Shock, disgust, happiness, sweat, a little bit of lust, baby.
It's go time. It's go, no go, lock and load, love him and leave him, smoke him if you got him, see it when I see it, because it's time for Mark Reardon time.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Good afternoon. We've had a little rain that's moved through, but otherwise a pretty nice day across St. Louis. Hopefully a much better traffic situation than yesterday. You know, when I drove home, Sue, on 44, I think the traffic went all the way to 270. It really didn't, but it seemed like it was going on forever.
Yeah, it was bad.
Heading into downtown. But no, as I come in today, none of that. So are we anticipating none of that?
No, it's still there. It's just Friday, and it'll get a little bit worse as time goes on. Sorry about that.
All right. Well, keep us posted. Sue will be here, obviously, for Sue's News in the next hour with the whole game. Let me introduce the panel. It's Friday. That means it's a Reardon Roundtable as we're in the studio today. Jane Duker is with us. Hi, Jane. How are you?
I am peachy.
You ready for a little rumble here this afternoon?
I am ready because I am still so fired up about the Blues, like I can't even see straight.
How much fun was that? But hang
I didn't
on.
Even like sleep, I don't
we,
think.
We can start with that here in a second. Steve Butts, state representative, is running for state senate as well as here with his Blues gear on. How are you, Steve?
Hey,
if
Mark,
I can get your mic.
Wait,
hang on a second. I don't have the right microphones
get
on.
Get the right mic on. Thanks.
That's my fault.
Doing great, and a little shout-out to Simone, Anton, and George, grandkids. I'm taking to the Cardinals game tonight.
Oh, that's
nice.
Exciting.
Nice.
And also with us this afternoon, the mayor of Eureka, Sean Flower, is here. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Mark.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
It's been a little bit. I think I saw you at a fish fry. Now, Steve, we'll start with the Blues here because that's a very important topic, and
it
last
is.
Night was
it
amazing.
Is.
I typically have a bit of a rule. You know, I used to play this little game on my show called Lawmaker for a Day where people were allowed to introduce legislation. They can really say whatever they wanted to. My standby was always no talking in a movie theater. I had a three strikes, you're out policy. If you're caught three times, permanently banned from going to a theater. I thought it was pretty reasonable. But I also have a rule where you can't, I'm pretty serious about this one typically, you cannot go into a sports franchise's stadium wearing another team's jersey that's not competing in the same stadium. However, I will offer you an exemption because the Blues are in the playoffs and you're wearing a Blues jersey with a Cardinals hoodie underneath it. I give you the exemption.
Thanks. And it's all for St. Louis. Things are popping, and I'm just hoping to inspire the Cardinals with the Blues gear.
Seriously.
I like it. I think that's reasonable.
Fellas, play like the Blues.
Take a cue from your brethren over at Enterprise who were scrappy, and they fought for every single puck. I mean, if they play like that, they will win the Stanley Cup.
I thought it was amazing. And did you guys
that's what
see?
They're capable of.
Did you guys see the video that John Gruden did that was on Barstool
yesterday?
He's
done more than one. He did a day after too. He's amazing.
Ethan, has he done one today? You better find that for me. Here's what he said yesterday. Of course, when he was kind of firing the team up, we pulled this. If I can get it to play, why is it not playing here? Oh,
we're the freaking nightmare.
Just love that,
Chucky. Did you see? What about the is it the Swedish guy? They paid for him to come to the playoffs last time. He did a GoFundMe, and people got him from Sweden because he's a fanatical Blues fan. So
I don't know that story.
So he did a video where he threw all these rubber duckies in this little river, and you know, to see who was going to win the Stanley Cup, and of course the St. Louis Blues duck won, and he said the Blues are going to win.
There you have it. That's
and
science,
Pete.
Put
$100
on him, Mark. Put $100 on him.
Rely on the experts.
I can only go on what my eyeballs tell me because I don't know enough about hockey. But what I saw over the weekend was Winnipeg dominating the St. Louis Blues and looking really good.
Not like 7-2 dominating.
I saw the opposite last night. The Blues were controlling the puck in the zone. There was so much energy. They were furiously firing at the goal. And they have a great goaltender. So Frank Cusumano is going to be with us a little later. He'll kind of break this down and talk about it at 4:45 after Paul Hall this afternoon. Of course, we'll have Paul on entertainment. But let's start with the topics here as we get going. Let me just offer a scenario, okay? We'll get the panel's opinion, Sean and Steve and Jane. Let's just say there is an illegal immigrant in this country that has been ordered to go to court because he is an illegal immigrant. Or maybe he broke the law in some other fashion, but is still an illegal immigrant, has a court date. And that person goes to the court date, and there's an American citizen who's a judge, not an illegal, who knows that that person is illegal and knows that ICE might come in and arrest that person for deportation. But the judge, the American citizen judge, decides the best plan of attack is to not cooperate with the federal authorities. The best plan of attack is to send that potential deportee down the hallway into a different room, hide him just for a little bit, right? And see what happens. And then when the judge gets her ass arrested, your side, Steve, and I don't get this, wants to take the side of the people who are breaking the law. Can you help me with that a little bit? I don't understand it. I really don't.
Mark,
You can't even look at me on this one, Steve.
I'll plead the fifth. I don't know the situation you're talking about, but I can tell you this.
Here's the deal. What I just explained just happened.
Well,
okay?
You're actually being nicer on it.
But the reaction from the left, so there's a judge
in Wisconsin. AOC? Which kooks are you talking about?
Most of them, Jane. You should see online right now.
He was an illegal immigrant. He was going to have his court date.
If we harbored him,
wow, ridiculous. Sean, this was so easy.
But this was the part that's even amazing because I saw
90% of Americans believe.
Believe me, I agree.
Bondi this morning was talking about. She goes, he was actually in a hearing for beating a woman and another. He assaulted two people. They were there, and the judge stopped the hearing and stopped the assault hearing about him when she found out about the ICE officer. And not only didn't put him in a room, she got him out of the building.
Right.
I mean, so she helps facilitate the escape of somebody in her court, in front of the victims.
Not only was he already illegal for being there.
But he beats.
And then he hits women.
It's unbelievable. It really is.
Very indignant. But again, there's something wrong. I mean, you're seeing, and this goes like that judiciary story down there, and was it in the South where the guy's got an MS-13 guy he took into his home?
Yeah, that's the other judge.
But these judges, I'm like, you know, if you're a judge, you do still have an obligation to follow the law. I'm pretty sure.
Last I heard.
I mean, you can't actually facilitate crimes just because you're a judge.
So, Steve, this really did happen, and this is up in a circuit judge. Hannah Dugan is her name. She was arrested and charged with felonies for this. It's funny when I see stories.
Where is she a judge?
Well, good. I mean,
Milwaukee.
Is she going to get kicked out of her office?
Yeah, that's People's Republic of Milwaukee.
Well, that's right. But it's funny because I still know some of the names up there, Jane, and there's a guy who's gotten involved here. Franklin Gimbel is his name. He was an attorney when I was up there. And this is the complaint that he's making. I'll just get your opinion. Your husband is a judge, right? Yes. So he says a person who is a judge who has a residence who has no problem being found should not be arrested, if you will, like some common criminal. And I'm shocked and surprised the U.S. Attorney's Office or the FBI would not have invited her to show up and accept process. They're going to charge her with a crime. Well, too bad.
Well, first of all,
she is not
a common criminal. She's an uncommon criminal because she's the one who's supposed to be upholding the law.
Thank you.
So it is not
a common criminal.
No, I don't know any judges who harbor felons in this town.
We all have to obey the laws. I don't care if we're the president down to the dog catcher and everybody in between.
They have to enforce the law. I don't understand that.
All right, good. Well, this roundtable is over. Thank you very much. Sue's News is coming
easy.
Up here
in just a couple minutes.
Again, so you have a little extra time.
It's a 90-10 issue.
I'm happy to hear that. I think the audience is probably happy to hear that. But what you're going to discover here over the next couple of days is there's a lot of people on your side that are going to be chirping about this in the same way that they're chirping about Abreu Garcia.
It's not a majority. It's a small minority of loud people who are ruining our party.
So do you feel the same way at this juncture about Abreu Garcia, who is still in El Salvador?
I still believe he is entitled to due process.
Okay. Where did he not get due process?
He didn't get due process in the United States. He gets to have a hearing. That's the way it works.
He had a hearing where a judge found that he was an MS-13 member. It wasn't only based on his arrest record.
Well, if they have a finding on it, that he should be deported.
I'm going to tell you what happened. He was wearing clothing associated with the game. My favorite thing about this in the last couple of days is, I mean, can we at least be honest on one thing? Okay, just one thing. We can disagree on a lot of things, but can we agree that you don't put gang tattoos on your fingers or your body when you're not in a gang? Because, ladies and gentlemen,
I mean,
that never happens.
No, it doesn't happen.
Correct. It does not happen.
If you're tatted up with MS-13 tattoos,
you better be, because they would kill you if you were.
I don't know who the rival gang is,
right,
but they're coming after you anyway.
Right.
Well, so then you have, you know, the claim that he can't go back there because a rival gang could harm him. Then we find out that he's a wife beater. Then yesterday you have more information that comes out about this trafficking arrest where he's in the car and he's stopped by a Tennessee Highway Patrol officer for speeding. The officer encounters eight other individuals in the vehicle. There's no luggage in the vehicle. So they think it's human trafficking. They probably think it's human trafficking because it is human trafficking. All of the passengers give the same home address. But Jane and Steve, I bring this up because we're now 2 weeks into people from your party claiming that this guy is the number one victim on the planet.
What I would like is for the Congress people, senators, on both sides of the aisle, instead of going to El Salvador and looking for this guy, why don't they just go ahead and go and find our hostages that are American citizens, the four American citizens who are still being held hostage by the terrorists, Hamas? Why don't they just do that?
That's a fair question. And then, Mark, I'll ask you, since you said the Tennessee trooper pulled him over, what did the Tennessee trooper do with the guy when he pulled him over?
Did he arrest him?
Did he arrest him? Did he?
I think at that point there was an arrest, and then I think he got left to check on the facts of that.
But he's subject to a legal deport. He's had due process and is subject to deportation.
If he got a court hearing and they told him.
But the only issue is there was a technicality where they had said, even though you're from El Salvador, we don't want to ship you back to El Salvador.
Yeah.
So the entire claim with us would be they're saying we'll bring him back to the United States so that we can ship him somewhere else.
Right.
And at a certain point,
to answer your question, though,
just send him to Haiti.
Well, that's right. That's what we do.
Send him to Haiti.
To answer your question, this is how the police report reads. The passengers gave the same home address as the subject's home address. This is the one in Tennessee. During the interview, Abrego Garcia pretended to speak less English than he was capable of and attempted to put the encountering officer off track by responding to questions with questions. When asked what relationship he had with the registered owner of the vehicle, he replied that the owner of the vehicle was his boss and then he worked construction. So they didn't cite him for driving infractions, but gave him a warning for driving with an expired license. Why he had a license, I have no idea. It says that it was a Maryland limited term temporary license, because my position
would
be—
which isn't a red flag at all.
Well, my position would be if you're a citizen—
trooper just said,
yeah, go
here's
on your
a
way.
Ticket for
it's
your driver's
fun.
License
Thanks.
And see you later.
And get your plates renewed. What, does it come from St. Louis?
I don't know why the officer let him go. I just know that we have this on video and that the officer did let it go. Also, we did find that the person that he said was his boss at the construction job was a dude named Jose Ramon Hernandez Reyes, who was also an illegal that was convicted of human smuggling. So there's all these things that kind of go back to this guy and circle back to him. But the hill that the Democrats seemingly want to die on is all about this due process. Now, one thing that's interesting here, I want the opinion of the panel, Jane Duker, State Representative Steve Butts, and the mayor of Eureka, Sean Flower. Sean, I'll start with you. There is polling that all of a sudden seems to indicate that maybe Trump is, they've used the word, underwater on the immigration issue. I don't believe that, and here's why. Because I think if you present a poll question about a Maryland father who is wrongly deported, you're going to get a certain answer. If you provide a poll question that says a Maryland father who was wrongly deported, he was also a gang member and beat his wife and did all these other things, maybe the results of the poll would just be slightly different. I don't know. I'm taking a stab there.
Yeah, anything I've seen in general on the polling, especially, I mean, he may have areas that he's doing worse on, but immigration still seems like he's at a top. I mean, you've shut the border down immediately, which showed that Biden was just not truthful, and neither was anybody saying you needed legislation to do it. So his credibility on that issue, I think, is very difficult to argue with because it's so successful. The policy speaks for itself, and you can tell because you haven't seen a camera at the border in months.
So, but there is polling out today, and this is the Washington Post has this and other sites. They say a majority of Americans, 53%, disapprove of Trump's handling of immigration, with 46% approving, a reversal from February when half of the public voiced approval of his approach. So the numbers are a little different. But again, I saw a Rasmussen poll from earlier this week that said 80% of people in this country, if not more than a majority of Democrats, believe that you should deport not only illegal migrants, but certainly illegal migrants that have committed crimes. So I don't think there's any dispute on that.
Hopefully, we might mention the Pope's passing before this day ends.
Yes.
But, you know, there's a way to treat any migrant, legal, illegal, whatever. And there's also people that are criminals. And if you said if you're a criminal, you came in this country illegally, I think you're the first line to get deported.
And I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not an immigration lawyer, but I mean, you know, we don't have to send them to their home country. I mean, there's nothing that says that. If we're giving them a free ride, I mean,
you can drop them off.
Send
wherever.
Them to Haiti.
Right.
Well, you have to be accepted by the host country, I would think. You don't just go to the border and say,
well, wow. I mean,
we did here for 4 years, Steve.
Okay, well, two wrongs don't make a right, Mark.
I would agree with that.
Well, no, I mean, you think that the criminals that we deport, other countries are going to say, oh, yeah, bring them here?
No.
No, I think you go back to your home country.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's the leverage you have.
All right, we'll take a break here. We are going to talk about the Pope and some other things here. It's a Reardon Roundtable on a Friday. Hang in there. We're just getting going. All right, welcome back. It's a Friday Reardon Roundtable. We have Jane Duker on the panel. State Rep Steve Butts is here, and the mayor of Eureka, Sean Flower. We have Sue's News in the next hour from Sue Thomas, right after Fox News at 4, and then all the regular Friday fun stuff with Paul Hall on entertainment. And Kusumala's going to talk Blues hockey and Cardinals baseball in just a little bit as well. Steve, I will start with you. State Rep Steve Butts and Sean Flower, the mayor of Eureka, and Jane is here. Maybe I repeated myself there. My brain is a little scrambled because I'm getting ready to leave town here in a couple of days. But Pope Francis, Steve, is going to be laid to rest tomorrow. I guess the time difference would make it about 3 here in the morning, at least the start of the funeral. Obviously, he passed away 6 days ago of stroke and heart failure at the age of 88. People had just seen him on Easter Sunday. He greeted the masses. He didn't stay inside and then passed away later that day.
Yeah, if you're familiar with, millions of people all over the world, you know, I mourn the death of Pope Francis. I think the world is a sadder, less loving place with his passing. But I will just say that burst of life that frequently happens right before someone passes, and I think that's what he had on Sunday. And the guy just loved being with people. That's why he's the people's pope. And he brought a sense of, for the past, say, 12 years or so, that remembering the poor and pomp and circumstance is not what it is about to be Catholic, but to be merciful and follow the Lord the best you can and love other people and forgive them. And that was his message. And I think it resonates in this world, and we'll miss that voice.
Mm-hmm. I love Cardinal Dolan, Archbishop Dolan?
Yeah, Cardinal. He had a cardinal too.
Right.
Cardinal.
I'm not Catholic, and I was actually raised in a family that was half Catholic. And I, you know, sometimes I think lack appreciation of the importance of the Pope and the papacy and everything that happens. I've been to the Vatican and toured that, so the history really is amazing. But, you know, I asked Fred this question because he's the religion editor over at KMOX, and we're pretty insulated here in America based on what happens in the rest of the world. And there would not be a situation, because an obvious question would be, well, does someone like, you know, Tim Dolan have a chance to be Pope? And that is not going to happen because America is seen as a land of extravagance. I think that's part of the picture. So we will have to go elsewhere.
And they're
for
not
our
ministering. Well, they're not ministering. You know, the growth in the Catholic Church is going to be, you know, Central America, South America. I mean, that's who they're trying to appeal to.
Who knows? I mean, Cardinal Dolan certainly is on the short list. I mean,
let's agree with that. Right.
I just hope there's not a reaction back to a super ultra conservative movement. That,
like the old guy here?
Yeah, you know,
wouldn't he be on the list too?
He's on the list, but I hope he's number 99 out of 100.
Right.
But, you know, I don't have a vote, you know, and I'll say part of being Catholic is you got to have faith and you trust that the Holy Spirit's going to.
I was actually excited.
Right,
Pope Francis.
Sean, any thoughts on the Pope?
I would just two things. My son he's 22 and just converted to, he joined the Catholic Church this last Easter. So I was at a 4.5 hour thing that he did. You guys are amazing.
Easter vigil.
I will say he sent me several articles and things on almost the opposite of what you're saying, Jane, as far as the number of young people in the United States.
Oh, I agree that young people
are
going back to religion.
Seriously, a more historical, a more structured, a more traditional church experience. And I think it's very interesting and haven't been exposed to it. And I do think that's the thing I think of with the Pope is just how many institutions do we have, whether, you know, not that people are, they'll mess with it, but to go all the way back to Peter in that type of time frame and something historical and it's had it, it's rare anymore that you sit down and you have something that timeless or that historic. And,
right.
And I find it kind of fascinating. And especially just been exposed a lot more to it lately, but it's interesting.
If you go to the Vatican, I grew up Catholic, but I think going to the Vatican and, like you said, seeing the history, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and there was mm-hmm. plenty of ugly too, and yet the church has endured, and, you know, and you want to think that something endures.
There's plenty of ugly that happened in this country and around the planet. And one of the things that's disturbing here is that there's a guy by the name of Cardinal Roger Mahoney, who was the Archbishop of Los Angeles, who's actually going to play a role in this ceremony involving Pope Francis's funeral. He's going to participate in the closing of the Pope's casket. And I mentioned this last year. I mean, if you start to really dig down and you think about this, the amount of money, and it was reported in the LA Times last year, the Catholic Church agreed to pay $880 million to settle abuse claims on top of the $660 million. You're talking about $1.5 million billion dollars to settle abuse claims. And a guy that was literally doing felonious behavior, helping these pedophile priests go from parish to parish, Cardinal Mahoney, is being rewarded in a ceremony for the Pope. That is something that disconnects me from anything related to faith in the Catholic Church, because it's mind-boggling. There should be people in prison. A lot of people. There should
Mark,
be a lot of priests in prison.
Faith in
and
God,
they're not.
Not faith in the Catholic Church.
I've heard that for a long time.
It is true, and this is going to be with us
good,
for another 100
ugly.
Years, in yes. my opinion. So.
Yep.
I just, that in and of itself, what kind of message
marry.
Does that
just
send?
Let priests marry, and then you won't attract the pedophiles. That's my opinion.
Well, there's probably something to that, right?
Yep.
Let's talk about St. Louis County and St. Louis City real quick. Jane, a week ago, you left the roundtable. I don't know if Steve and Sean saw this. You left the roundtable. You go out there onto 14th Street. You're at the corner of 14th and 14th. I just 14th, said it like some yeah. like farty far. 14th and Market. And you're stopped there for a couple of minutes because there's a gang of motorcyclists that are running all the red lights.
Yep.
There's someone who is parked in front of you, the motorcycle guy right in front of you, kind of basically stopping you from moving forward, right?
Correct. You know, and guarding the intersection as if it was theirs. And in my video, only got half of it because I'm sitting here going, this is happening. And this is happening like a long time. And so I probably got half of the number of, you know, bikers out there. And, you know, and then the police comes out and says, okay, well, we arrested two people. And I was like, well, you know, there are no cops down here. Okay. And you can't expect one or two police officers to stop 70 or 80 bikers. Okay, if you don't have enough police,
right.
this is going to go on. They know they are in charge, and they know it. And
I know.
They knew
I
that
agree
nobody
with you.
Was going to do anything about it. And, you know, it's very dangerous. I mean, people, you know, if they don't see them coming and they're trying to cross the road, it would, you know, it was
well,
at
if it
rush
happen,
hour.
If it would happen today, for example, you have the Blues aren't in action until tomorrow night, but you got a concert in Enterprise.
Right.
You have
right.
the Cardinals,
Cardinals
in town.
Tonight.
Right,
right. I mean, and so, you know, and they did it with such impunity. And, you know, but that's the way it is. I posted a video about there's a channel that talked about, you know, St. Louis being the murder capital. This is recent, not, you know, a long time ago. And they interviewed all these gang people. And well, first of all, nobody wants to admit that we have a gang problem, but we do. And the gangs are like, oh, yeah. I mean, we knew during Ferguson, all the cops were in Ferguson, so we could murder anybody we wanted.
Yep.
Yeah, but the tricksters.
They know exactly.
The tricksters on the motorcycles and the motorbikes, you think of it. I've seen it several times. Crazy dangerous.
Yes.
But you get 50, 60 of them together, I mean, there's just no way to.
What are you going
to
do?
Run them down.
Yeah, I
mean,
know.
Well, this is what I think. So that it's not the way
strip
it's
them.
Going to be in the future, but I think a lot of those strips
yep.
that
they
blow
throw
your
the
tires.
Out.
And for sure, fly some drones. These guys all,
you know
came
what,
here
exactly.
on a trailer and then confiscate the
yes,
vehicle, the
yes,
bike, and the trailer.
Yes.
Fly the drones. They're not going that far on those bikes.
Well, we've got the real-time crime center. They know where they are. I mean, that's the thing. Everybody kind of knows where the crime is, but we don't have the people to execute to go stop the crime.
We did get a couple of them, three of them, with
they
their
got
bikes.
Three of them of the 70.
And one of the vehicles, the right. SUV that hauled it in. So it's a
right.
step.
It's, well, sort of.
In St. Louis County news, Sam Page is going to run for re-election, Jane. I had to get your reaction to that.
Well, it's comical. I mean, I don't know that you lead your kickoff with, well, you know, the council doesn't hate me as much as you think. That okay, that's not like a good thing. I mean, he doesn't really talk about any accomplishments. You know, oh, the budget crisis is not that bad, but I want to spend, you know, $750 million on a new government building. I mean, it was a very weird announcement. I mean, I think it's going to be difficult for him to point, and I'm not the only one who has said this. I mean, Jacob Kern and other people did the article in the Business Journal saying, you know, what is his list of accomplishments? I mean, there are none. And, you know, St. Louis County, and they're like, what are you going to do about, you know, declining population? I mean, he doesn't have an answer. And it's always the same thing. And it's the Tishara playbook where, oh, this has been going on for 100 years. It's not my fault. And he went back to blaming Stenger. And I'm like, well, you've been in office longer than Stenger was in office. You've been in St. Louis County since 2015. You've been in government for 10 years. I mean, you're responsible. It's time for you to be responsible.
But it's hard to be an incumbent, Jane, as you know. And I guess the last
but
time.
But it sure happens.
Well, I remember when you were going to file because we were talking. And you're like, nobody else is going to do it. Somebody has to do it. You wanted yes. to take a stand. And we appreciated that. But the odds were stacked up against you. In this case, though, we do have some people on
yes.
the Democrat side that have a little gravitas that are probably going to run on the
He's
Democrat.
He's going to have a primary. And that's what's going to take him out. You know,
I
think
so.
Dennis Hancock is running just to make sure that, God forbid, he get through a primary, that he doesn't get a free pass. But, I mean, he's going to have, I think if Brian Williams, the senator, gets in, I think Sam is
toast. Steve addressed that because you introduced me to Senator Williams a few weeks ago when I was in the Capitol, but he's the name that kind of comes up most, right?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Brian's. There's no secret about it. And I think he would be kind of ideal for St. Louis County, right? He bridges city and county. He brings people together. And boy, is he an articulate spokesman as well. So I'm pretty high on the Brian Williams.
But people don't seem, the thing with him is that people don't really know him. The insiders know him. If you're going to run for this, doesn't he kind of got to get out of the gate pretty quickly as well or not?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean,
Sean, do you know any of the players here? Any thoughts on that?
I've heard that name a couple times. I've kind of heard rumblings of several people talking about it, but I would assume that, you know, if most of them are Democrats, I'll probably consolidate on somebody a little bit. But yeah, I would agree. I mean, what's interesting to me is that I do think your council now has gotten a pretty good working relationship. They seem like they're doing
together,
a lot of stuff there. So I think there is potential if you have leadership on there for the county to make some big decisions without, you know, that are hard decisions. They're financial ones that wouldn't necessarily be very partisan because they really have as a council. There's a lot of bills that are going through that are all kind of agreeing on different things. So that seems to be starting to work.
Well, they've finally made it nonpartisan, which a lot of people think it ought to be. I mean, the stuff that you do in county government really shouldn't be partisan.
I agree with this.
And so, you know, the fact that six people from, you know, diverse areas in, you know, Democrats, whites, blacks, women, men, mm-hmm. Republican, Democrat, and they can find a way to work together. I mean, that should be what we are all looking for.
So we feel, though, agreed. Just going back to Mayor Flowers' point, that that's actually happening currently on the county council.
It is.
Outside
it is.
Of King Page.
Yes.
Okay.
They have
well,
to
that's
go around
good.
King Page.
But then when we get to, you know, moving forward, let me ask this question. This is kind of going to cross over into something. But moving forward, we've talked about consolidation of services, trying to get some of these municipalities that don't duplicate services. I don't know where those conversations will take place. How many people do you have in Eureka? First of all, what's the population of Eureka?
We're right now about 13,000.
Okay. How many members of your board of aldermen or city council?
Six.
Okay. Six on there. I was curious because I was poking around on some stuff in Valley Park. They have 3,000 people. They have, maybe that's six. 6,000 people, 6,000. But they have six county councilmen or aldermen, whatever you want to call it. I thought, do you need that many in a situation with small municipalities? But, Sean, you probably know this. There is duplication of services, right, in a lot of these municipalities?
Well, it depends on what you mean by duplication. I mean, right. I think a lot of people in my area, I mean, we have 26 cops that do a great job. I mean, all the issues she was just talking about would be completely different where I'm at. I mean, we tracked a bank robber down in the city and arrested him. That probably wouldn't happen a lot.
But you have your own police department.
We have our own police department, but is that duplication or not? Because the county has it and some cities use them or not, but it's better. Our guys have tracked recently some property crimes down to Atlanta and got them back because our detectives, and they are instructed and funded for public safety.
They're trained.
It's our number one priority out there. We fund it, staff it, and do it. So it's controlled local, but we do it better. So, I mean, is it duplication or not?
Oh, I don't know. In your case, I would say no, based on what you're just telling me. But
there are a lot of...
Would you make the case that that exists elsewhere, though?
It can. It depends. Okay. But here's the thing. People have to decide. And this is one of my... Like, when you're saying your unwritten rules of things like, not wearing the jerseys or whatever. Mine is that people shouldn't complain if they're not willing to vote and run for stuff.
I'm with you on that.
My number one thing, my response to constituents or people out there is, I'm like, that's great. You don't like what I'm saying. You want to run? You want to do something? You want to put some time in it? Because posting on social media and doing it isn't. And if you want your communities to run well, you have to participate. And that means there's always a lack of people to run for the spots. And you can see huge trade-offs when you don't get good people. But people have to be willing to serve and do things that are outside of what you make for a living. And you have to be willing to serve and commit to your community if you want your community to be good. And that's a symptom everybody can blame downtown on, you know, whoever the politician is. Nobody votes.
What is your voter turnout? What's your voter turnout in Eureka?
Turnout, it'll be low on that one, but we get it high. But it's participation. It's the people. Yep. We got to quit copping out and blaming people that show up, if you like them or not. Not enough people run, and not enough people do it. But our community's had a good run of that lately. But it can go at any time, and that's the key to those leadership positions and duplications. Now, do you get into multiple fire districts, but slowly they all cooperate anyway. I mean, our fire district has agreements with other fire districts, so they both show up and help each other if they have things that go on. We cooperate with St. Louis County. They have tactical teams. So there's a lot more collaboration than people think.
Well, it's because you're such a damn good mayor, Flower.
That's right.
I mean, come on. You're
right.
I will say this
about Mayor Flower. Underpaid. He's the first one that will go up to North County and meet with all those mayors and say, you know what? We're only as strong as all of us are. And you know, the fact that you have West County mayors talking with North County mayors, I mean, that's what should be happening. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of leadership in the county to foster that further. And in fact, I mean, I think if you talk to most municipalities, they don't appreciate the way that they're treated by St. Louis County. And that we're not going to be able to consolidate and do things and collaborate when the municipalities don't like dealing with St. Louis County. And so, you know, when he like campaigns against the city of Manchester, we're like, what do you care? Leave the city of Manchester alone. You have your own problems. And so, you know, he can't get along with anyone. And that, I think people would feel differently about more collaboration if there was better leadership.
On the Sam Page race, though, that would be, the primary would be, just make sure I'm straight on this, the primary would be August next year, and then the
August
general
26.
Would be, okay. Yes. All right, yes. We got to take a break. We're coming back. One more segment of the Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon. Jane Duker, State Rep Steve Butts, the mayor of Eureka, the best mayor in our area, Sean Flower.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
You know, sometimes the conversations during the breaks are really interesting. I've often advocated for maybe a sponsorship by someone to get us up on, you know, Spectrum, and you will have language that has to, you know, be rated by PG-14 or something like that.
Yes.
But there's a couple things that came up during the break that I must share with the audience this afternoon. Jay Duker is here. She'll hang out in the next hour. State Rep Steve Butts and also the mayor of Eureka, Sean Flower. America's best mayor, as we've dubbed him this afternoon. But wait a second. Tishara's kind of come out of her hole here in the aftermath of the election for the first time.
She has posted, and it appears to be on Instagram, and she's clearly on a cruise ship.
Oh, well, that's something different.
Yeah. Right. Traveling?
Yeah,
I know.
Exactly.
Well, she has to go back to her, you know, back to her routine. And so she posts on here, me knowing just my name pisses someone off. That's what she captioned.
What does that mean exactly? Do we know?
She's just happy that people hate her.
Okay.
And then, but the hashtag is what's really awesome. Hashtag comeback reloading.
What does that mean?
Please, no.
Yeah, I know,
right? She's not reloading a comeback in any way, shape, or form.
Steve, she's not reloading comeback, right?
She is not.
Yeah.
She's not going to come back into local city politics. I don't believe.
Well, people said Vervis wasn't going to be back, and he came back.
Did he?
He was kind of
on social media, and that's it.
He ran the second floor.
And you can easily just block
him. He called
him,
directors directly.
How do we think Kara's doing so far, though?
You know,
we've had a couple of changes. We had the health director resigned, I guess, but the health director was very loyal to Shara, so maybe not as big a
correct.
Surprise.
It's not
right?
a big deal. I think that removing the streets director, that just had to
that
be
was a
done.
No-brainer.
Clearly, she wants
Richardson.
A change at SLDC. That has to happen. She's building a good team. The woman has boundless energy, and her energy level, I hope, is up for the job. But for the first week, right? She's just at a week and 3 days. You know, she's hitting the ground running.
She's and realistic about the budget.
I watched the E&A hearing, and she's like, and the budget director was very clear. This is a recession budget.
Distance,
and we're not in a recession.
Distancing
and that's a
herself from the lawsuit that Megan Green filed.
Yes.
Well, explain what happened there. You know, I had Andrew Bailey on a couple of days ago, the attorney general. But what happened was there was a lawsuit that was filed. Was this like the last day that Tishara was in office?
Yes.
Or right around
yes.
that time?
Yes.
And Megan Green, the Aldermanic Board President, Looney Tunes, was involved in this. That opposed state control. But did they miss a court deadline? Is that something as well?
The judge looked at the pleading and just looked at the caption of the case where they were suing the state of Missouri in federal court. Well, that violates the 11th Amendment. I mean, it's like, and as the judge pointed out, any first-year lawyer knows that. And so he said, fellas, you know, you can't use the federal court like this. You know, and he issued one show cause order that said, come back and tell me you're either going to amend it we're going to dismiss it or you're going to dismiss it. Well, he never responded. The lawyers never responded. Instead, they talked about it in the press. Well, that didn't make the judge happy. So then he said he issued another order after they ignored it and said, you know, show cause, they have to file by next week why they shouldn't be sanctioned for filing a frivolous pleading in federal court. They say, basically, he said, everything I'm looking at says this was political protest and politics, that this was using the courts.
So he kicked it out, and that's over.
Well, he hasn't even dismissed it yet. I think he can sanction the lawyers for filing frivolous pleadings.
Mayor Spencer is stepping it back,
saying she's not a party.
Right, right. She's not a party.
Right.
All right, so let's kind of bring it full circle here. Steve, I will start with you. All the excitement about the Blues right now, not as much excitement about the Cardinals. You mentioned you are going to the Cardinals game tonight. You're wearing your Blues gear. That was a hell of a game last night. I mean, they needed to get back on track, and they got back on track for sure. But another game tomorrow, and then you got to go back to Winnipeg.
Yeah, Sunday's the game at noon. So, it just goes to show you when you have a local town team, when they're winning and have a big game, there's a buzz, and downtown was hopping last night. It'll be hopping again on Sunday. And, I mean, between Binnington and Winnipeg Jets are the real deal. I mean, it'll be an upset. It'll be an upset if we can beat them.
What is the deal? I don't get sometimes, I understand that hockey goes until mid-August, right, before we have a Stanley Cup champion. But in this situation, see, I even said the game was tomorrow, kind of making the wrong assumption that the game is tomorrow. It's not until Sunday. Now, some of that sometimes happens with venue conflicts. So, for example, tonight you have Brooks and Dunn at Enterprise. I don't know if they have something tomorrow. But, my God, do you need 3 days off between games?
Did you watch last night? Yeah. They beat themselves senseless.
Winnipeg was Saturday and then Monday. So there must be something with the venue.
It could be.
Or with, you know, TV or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, hockey, not exactly like the NFL. I mean, you couldn't expect NFL teams to play on 2 days rest.
Yeah.
Hockey
is about there.
So they... couple days off is what we're going to need.
What kind of crowd do you think you're going to see tonight at Busch Stadium, though, Steve?
I'm going to go with, Ricky Horton always has the exact number. I'll say 26,500.
My point is, we're seeing things we haven't seen in a long time, and I don't think this weekend's going to be better. They're five games below 500, unfortunately.
We're in a mediocre, division. We're okay.
We're not okay.
We're going to be okay. This is what I'm going to say. It's early. The crowds, it's not going to be like we're in playoff contention or anything close to that. But when the weather gets a little nicer, we had a really crappy, rainy, chilly April.
Yeah, I agree.
When the weather gets nicer and kids are out of school, you're going to see it's still a value. I still go to the games. My grandkids love to go. So
I'm with you. You know that. I love baseball.
The food's good.
I depend on entertainment. I'm going to go to games. I haven't been to one yet. But I am concerned that we're going to see a summer like we really haven't seen, because if this team dips further below 500, you're just not going to be able to climb out. They did make some moves today. We'll cover that with Frank. Good. Ryan Fernandez sent down to Memphis. Thank God we might be done with that. But gang, that wraps a roundtable. Sean Flower, great to see you. Thanks
good
for coming
you.
In. The last time I think we saw you was at a fish fry, and we've already established how good of a mayor he is in Eureka. Steve, have fun at the game. You say you're taking family tonight. What's going on?
Some of the grandkids.
All right. You have
That's
so many.
Adorable.
And Jane's going to hang out in the next hour. We've got a Friday edition of Sue's News. Thank you. That puts another Reardon Roundtable in the books. I think Mike Elam will handle the chores next Friday.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love, because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.